Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
How many of you know, church, that our children are important to the Lord? Amen. Our children are important to God. Amen. Yes. They're very important to the Lord, and they're important to His kingdom. And I'm certain, church, that whenever we prioritize what the Lord prioritizes, it frustrates the enemy. Amen? It frustrates the devil because he gets upset that we've noticed an area where he is targeted. Amen? It causes frustration in the heart and the mind of the enemy because we know, church, that in the times that we are living in, we can see that there's a clear launched attack from Satan against our children. Amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? We can see all over the world today, but certainly in our country, we see that there's people that have come against our children. They're trying to bring confusion. They're trying to bring things, you know, the enemy's trying to bring things like depression, oppression, perversion, all kinds of things against them. And as I was preparing for this message, you know, I was even reminded so that we're in the middle of a month that celebrates and recognizes this month as a pride month. A month of pride, celebrating a homosexual lifestyle. But if you have had your spiritual eyes on and your heart's been tuned to the Lord, then you can see, church, that this Pride Month is more, you know, it's not so much about celebrating this thing as much as it is about the target in whom they want to influence. It's not so much about them getting their recognition, though the devil likes to, you know, get his own recognition. But I've seen this more so as a target in a deliberate attack against our children and trying to expose and seek to expose that kind of perversion on the lives of our children. Amen? But I want to remind you this morning, church, and I want to encourage our faith that we need to defend our children as well. Amen? I don't know about you, but it's time that we stand up against the attacks of the enemy and defend what God has blessed us with. Amen? I believe that we need to get tired of supporting companies and businesses and corporations that outwardly and openly, you know, believe these things. Amen. They have a platform to stand on because we put money in their pockets. I don't know about you, but I cut cable years ago. Because all I saw it was as a portal of demonic activity, of influence, of trash, of just filth that was trying to poison the mind of my children. And I said, no more. You don't need it. Amen? We don't need these kinds of things in our life. And so I want us to understand several things this morning, and I'll talk about them in more in detail. But I know for me, church, as crazy as this world has gotten, I'm reminded of that wonderful scripture in Joshua 24, verse 15. It says this, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, everybody say me. He said, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve. He said, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But Joshua makes a statement here where he goes on to make a declaration for what he had control over. And that was his family. He said, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, I will make it a point that we will serve Jesus. Amen? We won't partake and we won't have, you know, be influenced by the things that this world is trying to push against our children, but we will serve the Lord. Amen? Serving the Lord back then, church, it meant cutting ties with former idols. Serving the Lord back then meant cutting ties with false gods. It meant standing their ground, even in enemy territory. And I was reminded of that scripture in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 that says, the Bible says about this, it says, the God of this age. I want us to understand something. The Lord is Lord over all. But there is a God of this age, and it's not the Lord. It's the enemy at work in this world. Now, I'm not making him higher than God. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But this is what this scripture is talking about. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. You see, all around us, darkness is being promoted and celebrating to keep those who don't believe from seeing Jesus. But I want to be a reminder to you and hopefully an encouragement to you and say, not in my house. See, the enemy's not going to have his way in my house. God has given us dominion and authority, church, so that we can be pushed back by the enemy? No, my friends. So that we can stand our ground in the face of the attacks of the enemy. When the persecution comes, when the agendas come, when the poison comes to try to seep into our household, inside the ears and the minds and the hearts of our children, we stand our ground and we say, no, my friend. You don't have dominion over this household. This household is covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yes, give him praise. And I want to emphasize to us this morning, church, that serving the Lord hasn't changed. Just as it was back then where they were to separate themselves from false idols, from false religions, from false gods, all of these different things, it has not changed for you and I today as well. We are still called, church, to live in this world, but be not of this world. Amen? We are still called to serve and accept Jesus and reject the ideologies and the agendas of this world. We are still called to pray when the classroom says that you cannot pray. Amen. Amen. We're still called to preach the truth, even preach the truth in love, even when people say that it's hate speech. Amen. You better agree with me because I'm preaching the word. If you don't know the word, then we're going to start from the beginning. We got all the time in the world. No, I'm just kidding. I got a time limit. We're called to preach the truth and love even when the world says it's hate speech. Yes. We're called to still love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. But despite the backlash, despite the people that may come against you for the stand that you've taken in the Lord, the mockery and all these things, we have a mandate and a responsibility from the Lord. And we find that in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1. And if you have your Bibles, you can open it in there. And the Bible says this. It's very simple. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Let's read it again. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find Moses, and he's leading the people of the Lord. He's leading God's people. And he reminds them first to love the Lord. How many of you love the Lord? We see, we can never expect our children to love a God that we don't first love ourselves. Amen. Loving the Lord is defined by John 14, 15. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. Amen. See, loving the Lord is not just lip service. Amen. It's an actual action. He goes on to say this. He reminds the people to keep his commandments. He reminds his people to keep his decrees, his laws, and his commands. When? Always. It's not a switch that we turn off as soon as this service is dismissed. It's not a lifestyle that shifts as soon as we get in the car to go back home. But the same way that we're, you know, here in the atmosphere of heaven, that we're praising God and we're learning about the Lord and we're seeking after God and we're humbling ourselves before him, is the same way that it should be in our home. Because one of the greatest ways that we can confuse our children, and this is on us, is by living a different life at home than when we do at church. Amen. By being somebody completely different. It's almost as if a mask comes off when we get back to our homes and we take off the church clothes, so to speak. And we don't walk in the ways of the Lord. But if when we go home and they see Jesus still living in us at home, they still see mom and dad bowing their knees in prayer. They still see mom and dad with the word of God open in the morning and praying over them. They still see the spirit of God at work in their life. That, my friends, will be the greatest representation of Jesus that your children could ever see. You are more influential than your pastor. Did you know that? Amen. You're with your children 24/7. You're more influential than the voices in this world, church. But we have to understand the place and the authority and the mantle that God has placed on us as parents. Now, I know that not every one of you is parents yet, but maybe one day you will be. And this word is just as much for you then as it is for us now. Amen? So Moses goes on to say in Deuteronomy 11 and 2, he says, remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God. They weren't the ones who saw his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt. He says, both to Pharaoh and the king of Egypt and to this whole country. It says, and what he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you. He said, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. Verse 5, he says, it was not your children who saw what he did for you in the wilderness until you arrived at this place. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, he says, sons of Eliab and Reubenite, he says, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all of Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. Verse 7, he said, but it was your own eyes that saw all of these great things that the Lord had done. I believe that the words that Moses spoke those many years ago are echoing to us today, church. The very same things that Moses is testifying of in these few verses that we just read is should be testifying to our heart today. Moses wanted the Israelites to meditate on the greatness of God, on the mighty works of God, which they had been privileged to observe, experience, and see. Moses is calling them to recollection. He's saying, remember the 10 plagues in Egypt. He's saying, remember the crossing of the Red Sea. Remember how God caused the earth to break open and swallow Dathan and Abiram as they rebelled against me in the wilderness. He's saying, meditate on these things. If you meditate on these things, it will ensure that you would remain faithful to the commands of God. If you keep them in your heart, it will remind you of how wonderful the Lord has been to your life. And so today the Lord reminds you, parents, uncles, grandparents, that it wasn't your children who saw God deliver you, it was you. You see, my kids weren't there when I bowed my knee to receive Jesus as my Savior. My children didn't see the hand and the act of God upon my life on that day when I surrendered my heart to the Lord. But they should hear every day from my lips and my life how much God has done for me. See, my kids weren't there when my wife had to go through surgeries and different things that we've experienced in my life. They weren't there at that time. But you know what? They can hear the testimonies. See, my kids weren't there when we were praying to even have children. And it was a 4-year battle of which we prayed and fasted and trusted God. They weren't there, but guess what? The testimony is still alive in my heart as much as it was then. Because God has been faithful. God has been faithful, and God has been faithful, church. Your children may not have been there when the Lord saved your life, but he's commanding you to tell them of what he has done. He's commanding you to remind them every single day how wonderful he's been, how gracious he's been. Your children may have not been there when the Lord brought you out of wilderness, out of a lifestyle of sin, but you have a testimony and a story to tell, amen? Your eyes have seen, church, not their eyes, maybe not yet, but your eyes have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living, amen? How many of you could testify to that this morning? This wonderful author, C.S. Lewis, once said this, since it is so likely that children will meet cruel enemies, he said, let them at least have heard of the brave knights and the heroic courage. He said, otherwise you're making their destiny not brighter, but darker. It was an interesting thought that came into my heart when I read that quote, because I think too many times, church, if I can be honest, I hear parents Sometimes I've even heard preachers alike whose message has become hopeless. Sometimes it seems that, you know, the things that are ringing out of our heart and our life and our mouth and our testimony on a daily basis is that there is no hope for the future. We see how this world has taken a turn towards sin, and we see how it's so bent on serving demonic agendas, and somehow that's become our message too. And what the writer is writing here, he said, it's likely that these children will meet enemies in this world. He said, but let them have at least heard of the brave knights and heroic courage. I believe that those are the testimonies of parents. Let them have at least heard that they have a God, that they serve a God who is still more than able. That as dark as this world looks, as much as the enemy is out and about attacking this world and trying to place fears upon the hearts of our children, I pray that we would be reminded that we serve the King of Glory. Amen. That we serve the great and mighty God. And that our testimony shouldn't be one that is, you know, talking about how terrible it's going to be. Imagine if your children hear that message every single day, that they have no hope for the future. We're preaching a message that's actually contrary to what Scripture teaches us, that we serve a God who is the hope of glory. Now, I realize that this world will one day perish, amen? And that the Lord's going to just swallow it up and burn it up, and he's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. But they need to be reminded of the greater truth, and that is this, is that they have the Lord of glory. If they receive him as Lord, walking with them every single day in this earth. And my friends, that is not a hopeless message. That is the message of all hope, that if they trust in Jesus, he will see them through to the very end. Amen? If they trust in the Lord. My God still heals. My God still delivers. My God is still able to set the captive free. Amen. My God is still able to bring clarity to the confused and to mend the brokenhearted. Yesterday, we were privileged to be able to go out to this wonderful event that was hosted in Mission, Texas, and we were able to pray for several people. And we're honored to be there, but there was this one young lady that came up to us whose mom had passed away 2 weeks ago. And she approached us, and obviously she was clearly broken in her heart and in her life. You know, sometimes we don't have enough words to say, it would seem, to minister to a person that's going through something like that. But the Holy Spirit does. And I'm reminded of Psalms 34:18. The Bible says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And we began to pray for this young woman, and we were just praying, you know, first and foremost, just for her heart and her life, that the Lord would comfort her and fill her heart with peace. And you know, before we know it, the next thing we know, Miriam was there, and she was ministering to her, and she just asked her, she's like, hey, listen, but you know what, like, this prayer would end, you know, right now, but what could continue in your heart is that if you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We asked her that simple question, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And she said, no. We said, do you want to receive him as your Lord and Savior? And she said, yes. We got to lead this precious woman to Jesus, and just to see how the Lord just was all over her life. Reminds me, church, that the gospel still works. Amen. That when we preach the truth, it still saves. When the gospel goes forth, it still cuts hearts. But it still has the ability to transform men and women back into the image of their Creator, not who they've created themselves to be. Amen. And just like in the Gospels, and just like he said, Jesus said, let the little children come to me, for theirs is the kingdom. Dare I say, church, we've at times been too focused on the size of our enemy and not focused on the perfect record of our God. Dare I say, from the lips of us as parents and people that have had a part in rearing up our children, have we got the message wrong? And this was the reminder that Moses gave in verse 7. He said, it was your own eyes that saw all of these great things that the Lord has done. How many of you have seen the Lord do great things? Raise your hand this morning. Amen. You see, we're a testimony of that. Some of you are cancer survivors. Some of you were once broken and lost, and the Lord restored you. Some of you were addicted to things and all kinds of stuff, and Jesus set you free from that. Some of you had diseases and things that had attacked your body and life, and the Lord set you free from that. Some of you have testimonies where you were in gangs and you were doing all these kinds of wicked things in the world, but God set you free from that. And that's the message, church. That is the message, that what we've seen the Lord do in our life, so he could do the same in the lives of our children. Amen? And so it's time that we get back to telling what God has done and will do and stop giving exposure to the enemy. Amen. See, Moses wasn't about to tell a people who were destined for a land of promises about the amount of problems that they had. But Moses' message was rather about the provision and the promises and the victories that the Lord had made for them. And so I believe the Lord would remind our hearts today that we are a people of covenant, amen? And this world is not our end. This world is not our final destination, amen? But the Bible says there is a city whose builder is God, amen? And the destination that the Lord is preparing for each and every one of us is there is a place that's being prepared for those who've surrendered their lives and received Jesus Christ as Lord. That place is heaven, amen? So in Deuteronomy 11, Moses goes on to tell the people, he says, so continue on in the ways of the Lord. Continue on in the ways of the Lord. He tells them of their awaited destination and how that place would be completely different from where they came from. And he said, and as they faithfully obey the commands of God, he reminds them that God will provide in this new land. And something I want to encourage your heart with this morning and every parent in here to do is to daily remind our children not only of our awaited destination of heaven, but what the Lord requires to make that a reality. What the Lord requires here and now to make that a reality. Because listen, we can talk about heaven and we can talk about that as a place that we're one day going to get. But listen, you're not going to get there if you're not living for him now. Amen. Dare I say, if our hearts have checked out in some kind of way, thinking that we've just automatically punched our ticket into heaven. No, we need to be living lives for Jesus here and now until he comes. Until he returns. What is the reality? What does the Lord require? Receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior. Can I remind us of something, church? Your salvation does not belong to your children. I'm going to say that again. Your children must receive Christ as their Lord individually. You see, my children might be under my insurance policy, but my children are under my salvation policy. In other words, I've got to lead them and we have to lead them to Christ himself so that he will be their Lord, just as he is my Lord. Amen. It can't just be this thing that, you know, oh, your parents are serving in ministry or your family does this and does that. And all of a sudden we just expect that everybody's going to jump in the Suburban on the way to heaven. No, my friend. We must tell our children about receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior. One of the greatest days of my life happened just a little over a year ago in April of 2023. We had a beautiful service on a Wednesday night, and long story short, the Holy Spirit just was ministering to my oldest daughter at the time, and or still my oldest daughter, and the Holy Spirit was ministering to her, and I heard the Lord tell me to ask her that question, do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And she said yes, and the Lord told me to ask three times, and I asked each time, and each time she said yes, and I'll never forget when she surrendered her heart to Jesus. I told Pastor that same night, I went up here, he was back here playing his guitar, and I ran up here and I hugged him and I said, man, Layla got saved. And you know, it was just, to me, church, the Lord could have just taken me. I felt like all my work here was done. Said, I don't have to preach nothing else, man. My child knows Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's the end goal for me. It's just that me and my house would serve the Lord. That's the end goal. Not things that I could accomplish in this world. Not things that I do for the Lord. You know what? I'm honored to do and serve Jesus. But you know what? That's the end goal. So my children would know the Lord. Amen. That they would too learn what it is, meaning to daily die to self. That they would learn how to pray. Amen. They'd learn how to read the word of God. They would live lives worthy of God's calling, you know, and we would live lives worthy of God's calling, you know, in front of our children to give them a hope in Jesus, amen, and not a future of fear in this world. Not a future of fear. And so Moses goes on and he's continuing to instruct the people of God, and we catch up in verse 16 and he says this, Deuteronomy 11 to 16, he says, so be careful. He said, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. And I think, church, sometimes we think that the Bible has like an expiration date. Amen? Everybody know what an expiration date is? Some of you probably don't. Probably got items in your pantry that have been there since 98. Still good. You know, pop it open. Don't do that. If anything, go clean out your pantry. But I think sometimes we think the word of God has an expiration date. And in our society today, we see people saying things and false things like this. The Bible isn't meant for today. Anybody ever heard that? They say that all the time. The Bible isn't fallible. Do you know who wrote the Bible? I mean, it was just a collection of letters. And you know what? As they passed on manuscript to manuscript, you know, surely they got some things wrong. Oh, the Bible's subjective. Oh, the Bible isn't absolute truth. We've heard things like this said, but 2 Peter 1 and 19 teaches us this. It says, we have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. It doesn't say partially reliable. It says what? Completely. Nothing was undone. It's completely reliable, and he says this, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. As it was for the days of Moses, so it was for the people of God today, that there would be false teachings, false doctrines, false gods. And all these things, church, are nothing but deceitful attempts from the enemy to bind up the people of God. Some of you may not even have known that that verse existed in the Word of God. And I want to teach us something this morning, church. We need to be literate in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. You better open that thing every single day and ask the Holy Spirit to convict you and speak to you and teach you and train you. Every single day, church. Because if we are illiterate, then we're passing on to our children a secondhand message. We're passing on to our children things that we don't even know. How many of you have ever had one of your children ask you a question about God? Raise your hand. And how many of you probably didn't have the answer? You're like, just do as I say. That's the card, you know, just pull that card out. Just do what I'm telling you to do. No, like I said, you have the greatest influence in the life of your children. So if you are studied in the Word of God and literate in the Word of God, then guess what? As you have that influence over their life and as you know what the Word says, you're able to teach them too. But they shouldn't have to Google it. They shouldn't have to find answers, you know, from some preacher online. They shouldn't have to find those answers anywhere else. They should be able to turn to their own parents to find out what it is that the Word of God says. Amen? The Bible says when we pay attention to the Word, it's like a light that shines in a dark place. True freedom, church, comes from knowing the truth giver who is Jesus. Amen? John 8 and 31 says this, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And verse 32 says, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so parents, in order for the next generation, our children to be raised up and serving Jesus, they must be first trained in truth. Amen. I would encourage you today to challenge every lie that the enemy is spreading today. Listen, don't let the world speak louder than you do to the lives of your children. Amen. Don't let the world be speaking a louder message than you speak to their heart and into their life every single day. I told the church this past Wednesday, I said, it's time to turn up the volume. What did I mean by that? I was referring to this. It's time to turn up the volume because in this society that we are living in a month like June, where it's Pride Month, they're really loud. Amen. I said, they're really loud. The world is really loud, church. Really loud. You can't watch a baseball game without seeing something about it. Has nothing to do with it. You can't just, you can't walk into just any store. You can't walk into a Walmart. You can't walk into a Target without seeing rainbows and all kinds of perverted stuff everywhere. I was in the store the other day. I went to Kohl's. I'll name them all. I don't care if I get censored. Censor me. Bring it on. Listen. I was in Kohl's the other day, and I'm standing in line. I'm ready to pay for whatever it was that we were paying for, and I'm standing there in this line, and there's this thing on it, and I'll just say what it is. It's Disney, and Disney's got this big old rainbow on it, and Disney's literally says, celebrating Pride Month. What does this thing called the Magical Kingdom, that's all about children and families, have to do with that perversion and junk? Has nothing to do with it. But it should wake us up to notice what is the plan of the enemy. It is a deliberate launched attack to your children. I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't waste the stinking penny of my money ever again. Ever again, church, towards supporting that kind of stuff. The Bible says to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Not be bringing the tithe out to Disney because it's summertime. I'm telling you, church, stop making the plans to go because it's going to be a good memory for your children. No, you're supporting a demonic agenda. Get it right. Amen. And I'm saying this because, listen, I'm tired of the church being too quiet. I'm tired of the church being too passive. I'm tired of the church being too illiterate or uneducated in the word. Listen, church, can I put this thought in your mind just for a second? In a war, do you think you have time to sleep? In a war, do you really think that you have time to sleep? You just got time to kick up your feet and just chill. You know what? I'm at war. No. No, you're alert. You're awake. You're strategizing. You're planning. You're investing. You're waiting on the next move. You're waiting for the orders of your commanding officers. So if we cannot be asleep in that kind of war, then why are we asleep in the war against our children today? Why are we asleep against the war that is a launched attack against our children today? Listen, church, I encourage you right now to arm your children. Everybody's like, hold on, what do you mean? Every sense of the word. Here's what I mean. Arm your children with the truth of God and with the promises of God. Ephesians 6 and 1, we know this. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You see how he doesn't beat around the bush. It's very clear. What does he say? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. What is he talking about? The truth. The truth arms you. What is the opposite of truth? A lie. And what is the enemy spreading now, more than ever? Lie after lie after lie after lie. Poisonous lies over and over and over and over. We need to be armed with the truth. Amen? And our children need to be armed with the truth. Our children need to know that marriage only belongs to a man and a woman. Amen. 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 Men, get it? They need to know the truth, and we need to not be so vague and so laid back when it comes to these kind of issues that are pressing against our children. And I'll say this, church, we've got to get to know the truth ourselves. Amen. Because God has not given you and blessed you and gifted you with these precious souls so that you could pass them on to secondhand information. Deuteronomy 11 and 18, he goes on to say this. So fix these words of mind in your hearts and in your minds. He said, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. He said, teach them to your, who? Your children. What does he go on to say? Talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. He said, when you lie down and when you get up. He said, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. See, Moses didn't say gossip about your neighbors. Moses didn't go on to say, you know, we're going to watch and complain about the news. We're going to scroll on social media. We're going to let our kids watch poisonous TV. He said, no, fix God's commands in your heart and mind. That meant that it was a permanent fixture to their life. It was attached to them. Wherever they went is where it went. Amen? It wasn't something that could be taken on or off. He said, tie them as symbols on your hands. He said, bind them on your foreheads. How many of you know somebody forgetful? Raise your hand. Don't look at them. We all know somebody like that. Sometimes you want to tell them, like, you know, keep losing your this or that. And you're like, dude, just put it on your forehead. Just tape it, you know, right there. So you know exactly where it is at all times. What is he saying? He says this. He says, bind the word of God, the truth of God, the teaching of God, the commands of God. He said, bind it on your forehead. What does your forehead represent? It is the forefront of your mind. It's what you think about first. It's not what you think about last. Some of us can't remember what we ate for dinner yesterday. But here the word of God is teaching us that it should be at the forefront. It's present. It's always available. You know it so well that it's constantly there. He says, go. He goes on to say in 19, he says, teach them to your children. Mom, dad, I plead with you this morning. Teach it to your children. Teach it to your children. He says, talking about the word when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road. I love traveling with my family, and we've had some long trips. Some of the conversations that we start and have, like, they just refresh my life. Because I like to hear what my children are learning about Jesus and what they know about the Lord. And we just have these wonderful conversations. But here the word, it says, teach it to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. See, don't talk about another person. Don't talk about another family. Talk about the word. He says, when you walk along the road, I could say this, but my family, you know, from time to time, we take evening walks, and it's kind of this thing that we just started doing, you know, a while back, and we're just out there, and we're walking, and we're talking, and we talk about life, but, you know, we really do talk about the Lord. We really do take advantage of that opportunity that it's just us, and we can just talk about Jesus. He says, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, you know, I don't see any gap in time that leaves out God. So when you lie down, when you get up, when you walk, when you talk, when you're at home, when you're doing this, when you're doing that, there's no time gap here that's missing. It's supposed to be every day. He says, write it on the door frames of your house and your gate so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. I want the lives of my children. I want the lives of those the Lord has given me responsibility of to be long-lasting, to be lives that bear the fruit of God, amen? To be lives that live under the promises of God. And church, I have to say this, we should stop at nothing. We should stop at absolutely nothing to pass on to our children what the Lord has done for us, amen? One of the things that I like about being a parent is that, you know, we can influence our children in such a way that, you know, maybe it took us a long time to get, took us a long time to receive, took us a long time to understand certain things about the Lord. But, you know, our kids are sponges. They're moldable. And I can say, oh, baby, you know, this took daddy a long time to figure out because he was stubborn or he was doing his own thing. But you know what? You don't have to do that because here's what the word says. We could save our children from going off into the world and veering off to the right or to the left if we would just simply prepare them and show them what the Lord has done for us, amen? The Lord is entrusting us to impart his word, his truth, and the proof of his life in you as a testimony to your children. And I thought about this, church, you know, if we're willing sometimes to take our kids across state lines and travel from city to city and buy all this expensive stuff so that they can play sports and do all these kinds of things, surely we could make time to teach them God's word. Amen. If we're willing to plan and spend some incredible amount of money to make a memory at some theme park or resort, how much more should we invest and be intentional about teaching our children about Christ? Amen. Because Christ isn't a distant memory. My kids have been to a lot of different places in their young lives, and some of the stuff they already forgot, to be honest. But you know what? Jesus is present, and he offers present life both here and now. And if you and I have tasted of the goodness of God, then our home should be filled with testimony after testimony of his faithfulness. Isaiah 38 and 19 says, the living. I'll stop there. See, if you're alive in Jesus, this next verse is for you. But he says, the living, they praise you, as I am doing today. And he says, and parents, tell their children about your faithfulness. You see, when you're not living in Jesus and you're living your own life apart from the Lord, there will be no testimony for your children to hear. They'll have to find it from someone else. They'll have to find it from their children's leaders. They'll have to find it from volunteers. They'll have to find it from pastors in the church or maybe a teacher that knows Jesus. What a sad thing to think that everyone else would be able to teach your kids about God except you. But it says the living, they praise you. And parents tell their children about your faithfulness. Some of the most precious memories I want my kids to have isn't just getting good grades or scoring a goal, you know, or going to some place. But I want them to have history and great memories and testimonies about encounters with Jesus. Amen. I want my children to openly serve Christ with boldness just like their mom and dad does. Amen. I want my children to stand for Jesus even if no one else does. Amen. I want them to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want them to bring glory to God in all they do. I want them to be used to lead many others to faith in Christ. I want them to carry their cross in this world just like their parents do. And we have a strong mandate from heaven, church, to raise up godly offspring. But one last thing I give to you this morning. In order to do that, we must remain childlike. You see, but hang on a second. I'm the parent. I call the shots. I make the rules. No, you don't. If you're a servant of Jesus, you're a child of the Father. He calls the shots. He makes the rules. I was speaking to a friend the other day, and we were on this topic of maturity and worship, and I told him this. That maturity in God shouldn't cause our hearts to become more stiff, but rather more sensitive. And for those of you parents that have grown in the Lord and you've been in the Lord for however many years now, your age in the Lord should still reveal that just like when we were once children, we too are still children before the Lord. That means that you and I can openly express joy and gratitude and thankfulness for all that he has done. We too can still run to the arms of the Father when we are in need. We too can still cry out and pray, and our prayers will still ring loud to get the attention of our Father's heart. Because I can tell you, church, right now on the other side of this building, your children are stepping into the presence of God week after week, and they are tasting the goodness of God, and they are openly expressing the love and dependency of a child towards their heavenly Father. But what about us? But what about us? It was written, the children are God's ongoing witness of his kingdom. A perpetual reminder of what it means to belong to the Father. Children are an unspoken sermon in every home for their simplicity and joy and humility of that which makes the world worth living in. And they remind us what it means to be a real Christian.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.